Morning. How are y'all doing? Marvelous. So, all right, we're going to continue on with our series in Daniel. Today's the second week in this 14-week study. The book's got new fonts in them, don't they? You notice that? It's new font, and it's done a little bit different. It's formatted different. Somebody bought the Gospel Advocate last summer. Someone bought it out, and they're publishing, and everything's going to be a little different, but they bought it out. I don't know. I might have been in trouble. The Gospel Advocate's been around for 150 years, so. Yeah, maybe that's it. It seemed thinner, too. I don't know. We'll see what it is, but it's different. So anyways, today we're going to pick up with Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Spell check does catch Nebuchadnezzar. If you put three Z's in there, if you switch around the order of some of the letters, it will actually catch that. It's incorrectly spelled. So if you're ever wanting to write about Nebuchadnezzar, and it does work. I'm not guaranteeing all mine are right, but anyways. So Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And this is a picture I took of the moon on the 12th. So I'm not good about using a tripod. It's like I'm never where my tripod is, so tailgate of the truck's close enough. Anyways, that's the moon. You've seen it. It's all right. So I'm just going to kind of start into it. I don't really have a good intro other than the fact that they want me to start with verse 7, and I figure we might as well start with verse 1. So that's our intro. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. You ever had a night like that? Dreams keep you awake? They bother you? A lousy dream. They just, and you can't go back to sleep, and it might, some of that stuff. Yeah, it ended. You never found out what happened there at the next step of it. There's no continuation on it. Fair enough. Anybody keep a dream journal? I hear those are popular. People wake up after a dream and they write it down because there's no way they're going to remember it in the morning. So some people write them down, try to figure them out. I know there's all kinds of stuff with dream analysis. I don't know how that works. I don't dream, and it might be odd to some people, but I don't. I think I've had one in the 17 years we've been married. It freaked Camille out that I actually had a dream, so because I was talking to it. So anyways, who knows what we ate that night or whatever, but I don't dream. So it's kind of foreign to me, but I did when I was younger, and I kind of can relate to something that'll keep you up and make you wonder about stuff forever. So anywho, that's where we're at. So tell me about his dream at this point. What do we know? What do we know about it? What's that? It bothered him. Yes. It bothered his spirit. It didn't just, I wonder what that is. It bothered him. That's exactly the words I was going to use, to the core. Enough that, well, we'll see. He goes looking for answers, but it's something that he knows is going to change his life, something that he knows is a message probably from the gods. Yeah. It dominated his waking thoughts. Not just that at night where Camille has some of the weirdest dreams, and I'm just glad I don't have dreams like she does. I think she has color, 3D, smell. I don't know what she does with her dreams. They're weird. She tells me about them. It's like, I don't know. There's no way you could have dreams like that. It's like Doctor Strange type dreams or something. So I'd imagine it's one of those kind of things. It's going to change. It's enough that it bothers him in his waking hours. Bothers him for days. What else do we know about it? One other thing in there that I kind of see. It says dreams. It doesn't say dream. It's plural. And I don't know what that is. And I kind of looked through some notes and stuff, and I'll be honest with you, nobody else seemed to really agree on it any either. Was it one dream, night after night after night, that was the same dream? Was it a series that built upon itself? I don't know. But it says dreams. So somehow, and I would imagine if you had a dream that either way, if you had the same dream over and over, or if it built in a series, like you say, this dream, you wondered what happened, and the next day you went to bed and it picks back up, that would hit you. So it does say dreams. I think I'll interchangeably use dream and dreams throughout the notes, but it says dreams. Is it surprising to see God communicate to someone in dreams? No, I know, my questions are simple. They're yes and no sometimes, but this isn't new to us. The Bible's full of people who receive, God talks to them in dreams and visions. Anybody know any examples of some of those? I should have brought chocolate. That's exactly what I was thinking. Last week we had an Easter egg hunt. Maybe we got some leftovers. Maybe I'm gonna lie. What's that? Joseph. Yeah, Joseph had dreams. He interpreted dreams for the Pharaoh. That's a good one. Yeah, he did that. You weren't talking about Joseph, the dad of Jesus, were you? God spoke to him, right? But I don't know if he spoke to him in a vision. Because he told him. It was an angel direct, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, but Joseph in Genesis, he gets both of that. I think he's got the dreams that he tells his brothers and his family about the stars and the moon and the seven stalks. Yeah, or I guess it wasn't seven stalks. Yeah, some of them are bigger than others. I think so. And then he interprets dreams for the Pharaoh with the skinny cows and the fat cows. And actually, I've got Joseph on there too, I think. Anybody else? Jacob? Okay. What's that? When he wrestled with the angel? Yeah, sleep hit him, didn't it? And he saw, what do you see? I should have come much better prepared to ask this question. So, yeah, maybe not dreams, maybe just visions. I don't think so. I don't know. I should have been better prepared on that one. I guess I should have just stopped at the yes. One way or the other. Is it surprising to see God communicate in dreams to someone outside of his kingdom? Do you find that surprising? I mean, Nebuchadnezzar is king of Babylon. Would you find that to be surprising?
God's always used different kings' kingdoms to fulfill his will. So, not really.
Not really. You're right. That's we shouldn't really be surprised at that. They're in his control, and you'll see that at the end of this section, that they are his and he'll use them as he wants. Another example, I got in Genesis 41, 1 through 3. After two whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile, and behold, there came up out of the Nile the seven cows, attractive and plump, and they fed on the reed grass, and behold, seven other cows, ugly and thin, came up out of the Nile after them and stood by the cows on the bank of the Nile. So anyways, Pharaoh has dreams like we just talked about. So it's probably not uncommon. So it's not a big surprise, but it is kind of weird to see God use somebody outside of his kingdom. Daniel 2, 2 through 3, then the king commanded the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream. So if you're a king and dreams trouble your spirit and cause you to lose sleep, what do you do? And I knew Chuck would appreciate the fact that this is not a Geico commercial. So if you're the king, and you got dreams about you, what do you do? I bet he didn't even ask. Summoned. Bring them here. You know, it's just that kind of thing. Yeah, I've got these guys on staff. They're getting paid and they're getting fed. Bring them here. That's why they're here. Weldon?
Back and also in chapter 1 and verse 20, it is talking about how they
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he comes to chapter 2, and who does he call?
Yeah, you're right. After the whole deal about what they're eating and everything, he sees that they're stronger. Then it's a test of wisdom and stuff, and he's seeing already, and they're better than what he's got on staff. God's blessed them, but where does he start? With the guys he's always had there, the guys he's trusted for years. Chuck?
This is the second year of the
administration. Okay, yeah, he is the beginning, isn't he?
So these are all new.
Okay.
Probably new.
I hadn't even thought about that. He's inherited from the last guy.
Okay. So, and Daniel's only been around a year.
Yeah.
Maybe. This is really early.
This is early. And he knows he's probably thinking he's hearing from the gods. So you go to ones that are the experts in that. And I think like that, maybe if you, hey, that guy's from Israel, he's not got the same gods as us. He can't be in tune with our gods, so he might not be the guy to start with. As a matter of fact, he never really sins for him in this story. So, like other monarchs, Nebuchadnezzar claimed a unique relationship with the gods of Babylon. He had religious consultants, the Chaldeans, among other wise men and advisors with specialties in magic and superstition. They interpreted omens discovered by such means as examining the entrails of freshly slain animals, the flights of birds, the arrangement of randomly dropped arrows, astrological oddities, and dreams. And that randomly dropped arrows thing is actually in Ezekiel. They've got that in there. So, but we see this today. People seek advisors that have... You see it on US 1? Really? Here in Florida, we'd have stuff like that? There is one on US 1. Yeah, down there in Sharps, Frontenac. In that area. If I had psychic ability, I'd set up shop in Sharps or Frontenac. That's exactly where I'd set up shop. There's a town, was it Casadega? Is that the name of the town? I don't even know where it's at. Casadega is like a home of prophets, seers, palm readers, psychics, and such. What? Could it be? Could it be? No. John? No, okay.
That could be a reason. And this was upsetting. Does he know if he's getting the right message?
Yeah, but Nebuchadnezzar's not part of God's kingdom, so he wouldn't have that warning, probably. And he's...
It was persistent.
It was costing him some sleep. It was changing his life, some way or another. He's using Nebuchadnezzar.
That's how he moves.
Yeah. He's been known to do that. He's been known to irritate you in one way or another. God's got these ways to get people moving. So, yeah. All right. And we'll move on. Verse 4, then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants in the dream, and we will show the interpretation. As the Chaldeans answer, the original text changes from Hebrew to Aramaic. I think any time I've ever studied Daniel, any time I've picked up any kind of commentary on Daniel, they make the big note. Not only does it said to the king in Aramaic, but they all note that from this point through chapter 7, the original text is no longer in Hebrew, it's in Aramaic. I think there's another spot in, it's Isaiah or Ezekiel 1. Anyways, there's another spot that the text is in Aramaic. But half of Daniel is in Aramaic rather than Hebrew. Everything else is pretty much Hebrew. So what I've found or what I've seen is that Aramaic is similar to Hebrew, kind of like Dutch is similar to German. I don't speak Dutch or German. I'll just take their word for that. So Aramaic was a common language of Judea in Jesus' time. This is what they talked to each other in. My understanding has been that they didn't speak to each other in Hebrew. That had pretty much been, it's maybe formal, but not what they used to talk to each other. So Aramaic was the language of the Jews. Greek was the language of the of trade. Well, Latin was trade too, but I mean, so you might find it, and they spoke Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, and Latin. But Aramaic is what they typically used. And we're familiar with Mark 15:34. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The other version of that, one of the other Gospels, has lettering a little bit different, but they're both in Aramaic. So, and they both reference what, John? Psalm 22, that's right. Very good. He always remembers that. All right. So we're not unfamiliar with Aramaic, but anyways, a big note there. What, and I have no idea what the key reason is of why it's in Aramaic from there, other than it is. I don't know why it didn't get changed to Hebrew over the years. But it stayed that way. Then what is the response of the Chaldeans when Nebuchadnezzar wanted his dream interpreted? What? First, tell me the dream. Yeah, wouldn't you? That didn't make sense. I mean, I'm like, oh, yeah, but like that. They want to start out, tell us a dream. You want us to interpret it, you got to at least tell it. If you got kids, you understand. They talk in code that way. I don't know how many times I've had stuff like that. Can you do this? What is it? You know, show me some good background here. So. Verse 5 and 6, the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "The word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses shall be laid in ruins. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation." So what makes this job tougher than normal? He's smart. That's quite a challenge. I mean, this is like working for an aerospace company. We want you to do this, but we're not going to tell you how to, we're not going to tell you exactly what, but we're going to, you mess it up, you're out of here. You're dead. Yeah. I think you're right. Don't go back and consult the books. The number three is, and you look it up, oh, okay. Yeah, they don't want them just going back and pulling old notes or going to some kind of chart. If you're in tune with the gods, prove it. If the gods speak to you, and it's probably at a level that's so big to him that I want to make sure you're getting it all. If the gods are going to speak to you on an interpretation, they'll speak to you on the dream itself. Yeah, that's true. Well, and if there's anything to gain by today's lesson, it's God's glory, God's providence, he provides, and our thanks for his blessings. Those are probably the key to today's lesson, because we're not getting to the dream today. It's just, that's not where the lesson goes. Kevin's going to cover the dream next week. So if that's what, I would say that's what you're going to get out of today's lesson. So the penalty for failure, if you can't name the dream and the interpretation, is? Yeah, a friendly death? No, torn limb from limb. That's quite a death right there. That's quite a death. Everybody. Yeah, not just you're out of business. Yeah, you're dead. We're no longer gonna have, Chaldeans will cease to exist. That whole, your kids aren't going to be Chaldeans, and the next people to come on and say, "I want to be this great advisor," will think twice about doing that. That's stiff. And a reward if they get it right? I guess great gifts and rewards and great honor. Cool. Gifts and rewards and great honor. Your name could be listed in the book in the Bible. Yeah. Any chance to turn this job down? No? No. Like I said, I referenced aerospace companies. Well, you get, so right, the second one. Yeah, you're just dead. This is it. I have the chance to turn jobs down. I'll get jobs dropped on me at the shop. It's like, no. And they're like, why? I said, no. Because I don't want torn limb from limb. That's just the answer. I don't want that job. I don't think I can do it. I can't do it the way you want it. Just no. That's not a choice here. They were summoned. This is your job. Yeah. If you're going to say no, we'll just go ahead and start the tearing now. So why do you think he addressed it that way? If it troubled you that much, do you think you'd want to give as much information as possible just to get it over with? Wouldn't you think? Or maybe it's the other way around. Yeah, I think that's it, yeah.
And so he probably knows he's going to hustle a little bit in the past. He's just, you're not going to hustle this time.
No. Yeah, he wants to ensure. Like you say, is it really from the gods? I think it's from the gods, but I need to make sure. Is it just something, you know, I've been changing my diet here and maybe I've been eating too many entrails of sea creatures or something? So, yeah, it's kind of a figure out, is it really from the gods? I want to know for sure. I don't want the fortune cookie answer. I don't want a poem that you saw somewhere. I want something concrete. Yeah, he's not just looking for an answer. He's looking more for the why, and he's looking for assurance, and it's the whole package there. I think it's that way to kind of cross-references where we're at. I think a lot of people come looking for, they might be looking for, how do I find God? How do I get to heaven? But if it was just a list, if it was just written down, and that was it, that's all God left us is this little piece of paper. You must do the following. It wouldn't have as much value as to search it out and find all that, the background and the foundation that we build it on. And as you build all that, it gets interlocked and it's assured that way. Does that make sense? I think it was just a quick answer. We wouldn't find the value in it as it is with everything that's built around it. That's my own interpretation. Daniel 2:7, they answered a second time and said, let the king tell his servants the dream and we will show its interpretation. So they tell him, we're gonna ask a second time. You know, it's, we asked, you said no, we're gonna, might as well ask again because we're not gonna have any luck with this without it. 8 and 9, the king answered and said, I know with certainty that you are trying to gain time because you see that the word from me is firm. If you do not make the dream known to me, there is but one sentence for you. You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the times change. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation. So wiser than the wise man, how did Nebuchadnezzar respond to their request to at least tell them the dreams he wanted to be interpreted? What was his response to them? Basically, if you know, you're going to know the whole deal. If you're going to lie to me now, you're going to lie to me. Yeah.
Okay.
You're going to lie to me now, you'll lie to me forever.
This is a test.
This is it. Yeah. I'm done having that kind of stuff done. It didn't just taste like chicken. Or, you know, it might be one of those things, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Are you sure that's chicken? It's in a weird shape. No, we're sure that's chicken. So, yeah. He knows that lying will continue if he doesn't stop it. If these religious advisors are really in tune with the gods, I guess I've kind of asked it before, but it shouldn't really be a big deal. It shouldn't be a big deal. If you spend time with our God, you'll be more in tune with his will. You'll be more in tune with some kind of interpretation of it and how to apply it to your life. It won't just be a regurgitated thing. Go beyond memorizing scriptures. although that's a start, if that's all we can do, we don't really have much. So we can go beyond that. In time with God, His Word's alive. His Word will speak to us. And that's where we kind of are at today. Yeah.
God, the
yeah, and with God involved with it.
You got all these magicians and sorcerers, and they've got all the gods of Babylon and probably other countries that they took in, and they've got all this group of all these guys that have all these different gods. And they've got Daniel that's got God. When it comes down to it, it ends up being a test of God.
I think you're right. And like that, we know God put that in him. We know it's just like you say, it tweaks him a little bit. I've talked about, Chuck and I have had Labrador retrievers. Anybody else here have a big dog? No? If you've never had a big dog, labs don't jerk on their chains or their leashes or whatever. They'll just kind of lean into you. If they want to go this way, 100 pounds of dog leaning into you, you'll eventually just kind of go this way. And I've found that God kind of does the same thing. He kind of leans on us a little bit. Little bitty things changes to the direction that he wants us to. Well, you can fight back, but if you take the push, you take the lean, it'll go. And I think, like you say, Nebuchadnezzar, it's just a little twist, it's readjusting him. As we go through Daniel, he sees God. He sees God through Daniel. His eyes are open. Like you say, it's a test. Is it God versus the gods? I read a book a while back called American Gods by Neil Gaiman. It's if you're not into sci-fi / horror / fantasy books, that book's definitely not for you. But one of the things I liked about it, one thing I picked up was it was tough for gods to get a hold here in America. They were fickle. The gods that were here disappeared. The gods that the Europeans and the Asians and everybody brought in, they disappeared. It was hard for a god to get hold, and new gods were taking their place, media, fame, stuff like that. So, you know, like I said, no value probably in anything else, but that's what happens. And that's what you'll see here. His gods will cease to have value to him. All right, so you think they're liars, scammers, charlatans, fraudsters, hoaxers, posers? Probably so. I think we've pretty much already figured out that's what they are. And I think Nebuchadnezzar's pretty much figured it out too. Verse 10 and 11, the Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand. For no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king's ask is difficult. No one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with the flesh." So if you're a liar, scammer, hoaxer, fraudster, poser, what do you do? Still not a Geico commercial. So what do you do? If you know, I mean, do they know? Do they know they're frauds? They'd have to, wouldn't they? Deep down, I would think. Yeah, they're not thinking about, they didn't ask what's that reward? What's the honor and what's the reward? They pretty much know. So, because they know their frauds, what do they do? Where do they put the weight now? I said, nobody can do that. You'll never get an answer. Unless the gods themselves just show up and spit it out, we're the best you got. Don't go anywhere else, we're the best. No, don't take anybody else's word for it. We're the best. So yeah, it's just not a man on earth, no one except the gods.
Well, that's not necessarily true. Was it
Joseph was before this.
But what they said was a lie.
They didn't know Joseph. Yeah. All right. So why do you think you'd give an answer like that? Really? I don't know. You're faced with that, and it's like, no, we can't do it. Nobody else can either. Didn't it just speed things up? I would think. Verse 12, because of this, the king was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So, Nebuchadnezzar happy with the no one can do that? Apparently not, huh? And is it just these wise men that gave him the answer? It seems to be all the wise men, all of them everywhere. I don't know if they've had local outlets, so maybe you could just go down to the local, like a Rippy Mart or something, that you could just kind of drive in and get wise men advice or something. Wise men are us, yeah. They got a little Facebook page and website. They got their own app. You know, you can just kind of, and maybe that's where fortune cookies came from. Just hand them out. I don't know. But he gives this decree. He says, he's angry and very furious. He's not just furious. And he commands, they're all destroyed. Verse 13, so the decree went out and the wise men were about to be killed. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. So why do you think Daniel and his companions were included in the killing of religious advisors? Something to do with it. They come to know God, at least. Yeah, I think you're right about as far as coming to know God. Verse chapter 1, I think Weldon alluded to it, or Weldon called this out earlier, in verse 17 and verse 20. 17, as for these 4 year youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had an understanding in all visions and dreams. Some of that says in the literature and wisdom of the Chaldeans, I think some versions say. So basically, they had been not only just reading on how to be a Babylonian and the history and the wisdom of that, but also how to be one of these religious advisors, how to gain this spiritual advisor, yeah. And every matter of wisdom and understanding. So anyways, they were being trained, like Weldon said, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in his kingdom. So they, in a short time, became much better. He didn't go to them first, but he sent for them. Anyways, they go to them to kill them. Does it seem like there's some kind of special order in how they're killed? I mean, the guys that gave the answers, I would have thought when they said no and we need to dream and nobody can do this, you would have thought they'd be the first ones slaughtered. They'd probably be the closest at hand or the first one to make the decree. But it says, while they were about to be killed, they sought out Daniel and his companions. Is there some kind of, does it seem like there's some kind of order to it? Yeah, but they're seeking to kill them before the original ones. Yeah, it could be. It seems to be a lower ranking and stuff. And I don't know. It just seems that way.
First in, first out.
First in, first out, yeah. Yeah, that works. That works. It probably is. It probably is. And I don't know why. But a strong union of magicians? I don't know, you know. It's government, and government works that way, right? Is that how that just kind of works? They just, that's how we're doing things.
You know, though, when Nebuchadnezzar was asking for those to come in, I would think that a call from the king to send the magicians in, they were the top dog want to go in.
Yeah. I don't think so.
What they should have said, you know, when they found out what he'd asked, it's been us to get some of these lower guys to go in there and they've been killed
still. That's it. The call goes out. Send in the boys. It's time for killing. Just send them in. No. He's going to get them all. Verse 14 through 15, and Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, captain of the king's guard who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree of the king so urgent? So how is Daniel's demeanor described? They basically come in and say, we're here to kill y'all. And Daniel, how does he act?
Well, he doesn't disagree with it, but he's saying, why is it got to be carried out so suddenly?
Yeah, that's... What's the rush here? Yeah. No. It seems pretty calm, doesn't it? It says, with prudence and discretion. I don't know if I'm facing a killer, how humble I'd be. I'd probably do about anything I could to say, no, not now, you know, push it off. But he's calm. We were talking about this last night. The recordings on pilots when they crash planes and stuff, and they always seem pretty calm as they're trying to, oh, we lost all our engines, and we've just taken fire from some kind of anti-aircraft down below, but, you know, we'll see if we can hold it together. And they always seem calm. You ever notice that? They do, and they seem calm. So with a 15-year-old that has now decided he wants to learn how to drive, that's one of the things I'll have to teach him, too. Be calm. So, but he does. That's, God's blessed him with that. He says, so why is it so urgent? What's the rush? Why do you think God would need his servants to deal with ungodliness in this manner? Because that's really what they're dealing with, is ungodliness. Why didn't he just call it out as what it is and be done with it? Or why does he take his time? Why is he prudent and discreet? Does that method work today? Okay. So he can probably better approach. This is probably his best path. If he can talk to Arioch, if he can talk to the king's captain, that might get him farther to go talk to Nebuchadnezzar. If he can calm the situation down. Oh, yeah, sure. That's the nice thing about having a book, you know. But if you're living it, and he's trying to talk him down, get a little farther. Nebuchadnezzar had already called out the Chaldeans for trying to gain time. So how do you think it'll work out for Daniel? He has more respect for Daniel. He does. And it's kind of strange because then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel, so he tells him the story. The guy that's there to kill him tells him the story. This is... As long as Daniel's part of the plan, as long as Daniel participates in the plan, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. Anyways, Daniel goes in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. And if you know anything about the book of Esther, you know that that's not the way. You don't go to the king unannounced. The king sends for you. So, but he did. He went to the king because God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. He's given him favor and compassion in the sight of the Pharaoh, the king. There's a big contrast between Daniel's approach with the Chaldeans' proclamation that nobody could do it. The Chaldeans are afraid, like you said, and they knew they couldn't do it, so they said, nobody can do it. But Daniel says, I'll do it. And he doesn't know the dream, he doesn't know the interpretation, but he knows he can trust God. Outcome's the same either way. It's not the same either way. If God doesn't come through with him, he'll be torn limb to limb. So his faith is, God will not let me be torn limb to limb. God wants me to do this. Which is a pretty strange place to be in. You're taken as a hostage, and he's got that faith there. It'd be a tough place. Anyways, Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. We know those guys as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He talks to them and told them to seek mercy from God. Pray for our mercy. Pray for mercy. Pray for our lives. Talk to God. And they didn't just put the word praying on a Facebook post. You can tell from the next verse, they prayed. They prayed in earnest. They prayed as a group. Seems to be a benefit to community prayer versus just praying alone. I mean, Daniel could have just prayed to God himself, but he includes his buddies. Let's all pray. Let's all make this ask for this intercession. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. After he gets the vision, Daniel blesses the God of heaven. It's his immediate response. It's kind of like, well, when Jesus heals the lepers, 9 of them go away and they're like, hey, we're healed. And the other one comes back and says, thanks. And this is Daniel's response. Hey, you've given me the vision. And he owes him thanks, even before he ever goes to see Nebuchadnezzar. Ever before he gives that out to anybody, his first thing is to give thanks. Verse 20 and 23 through 23, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows that what is in the darkness and light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Daniel acknowledges and praises God as the source of all wisdom, all knowledge, source of all power. Kings are put in place by him. He acknowledges all this much before he ever goes and does anything. Why was God the only one who could tell the king his dream and foretell the future? Nebuchadnezzar was right. It was the gods that put that dream in his head. It was the God that put it there. So he was right. And if God put it there, he's also, like the magician said, if it's there, only God can tell the answer. So it can't come from anywhere else. So next week, Daniel explains the dream. So if you really want to know what the dream is, you want to know what the dream is and the interpretation, pray about it for a week and come back next week, and Kevin will give the real answer, or you can just look at the next verse. So that's right. Yeah, Kevin should have to do that with a big sword or something ready, though. So yeah, Kevin will teach next week, and that's where we're at. That's about it. Thank you all.